Yeah, I know you guys are learning Yevamos. Most of you guys are in Sheyashiv, and some of you are not, but we chose Yevamos because of the Rov is Sheyashiv. Now, I never learned Yevamos Be'in, here and there, little sigas, but not really intense. So I chose this parak, the 12th parak, Mitzvah Chalitza, which is the easiest of the Masechtet itself contained. The wonderful sugyas everywhere, but they're particularly nice sugyas here in this parak. So the very first sugya, as you got to go through, is the Mitzvah Chalitza. The very first words of the mission, the name of the parak, is Mitzvah Chalitza. And the big question is there a mitzvah? What is the mitzvah of Chalitza? Now, the very first words, Mitzvah Chalitza, indicates there's a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah in the performance of Chalitza. We're going to go through the relationship to Yibum. It's going to be a nice, I think, shiur about an overview of the nature of Chalitza. But this very first line, we raise the question whether Chalitza is actually a key mitzvah. So the Rambam, it's found in Hilchos Yibum, that's where the halachas are found. It's in Perek Dalad, where he seems to also, I didn't put it in the Marmakom, so I left it off accidentally, but he seems to indicate this is also a mitzvah. He actually counts it as one of the mitzvahs aseh. I'm just trying to find the actual Rambam. It's in, here we go, Perek Aleph. He writes, mitzvahs aseh mei Torah sheyaveim adam eishes achiv. And then he says that larata liyaveim o shelarata hi. He doesn't want to do Yibam, or she doesn't want to do Yibam. Hareze Chalitza, he has to do Chalitza. We'll go through those details over the next couple weeks together. V'acharkach tia muteras li'nasei la'acher. Then she's allowed to get married to someone else. U'mitzvas asei min haTorah lachlotz. And there's a kim asei in performing Chalitza. So there are two things that happen with Chalitza. One is there's a mitzvah, a key mitzvah. And number two is she's mutter. She's now allowed to get married to anybody else. So I don't know how familiar you are with the halachas of Yibum, but when the husband dies, and they're childless, so now she is zakuk, she's stuck, she's connected to a brother. Now that brother has to either do Yibum or Chalitza. So long as nothing's done, she's stuck. She can't get married to anyone else. So if they do Yibum, so now she's married to the brother, and they continue a very nice life together. They have children, Mirat Hashem, and continue the name of the deceased. If, however, they decide to do a Chalitza, they end the relationship. There's no longer a zika, it's called. There's no longer a connection. She is single. She's free to get married. She's mutter. She's mutter l'shuk. Muteris l'shuk. So the Rambam says she's muteris l'inasei l'achar. She can marry someone else. And there's a mitzvah. Say you get a check mark for being mekayim one of the tayrig mitzvahs. So there is a mitzvah according to the Rambam, which seems to be the simple understanding of the Mishnah, mitzvah chalitza. This idea is echoed in the Mishnah in the Maseches Becharos Daf Yud Gimel. The first parak of Becharos is a wonderful parak as well. It talks about the mitzvah Petach Hamor. Petach Hamor, just as a way of background, the three Becharos in the Halacha. What are the three Becharos that we have? Anyone know? Where do we have a Bechor in Halacha? The firstborn. What's the significance of the firstborn? Yes, Sammy? Fruit. Bikurim is close, but not fruit, but it's a good extension, Bikurim. One other case of the significance of a Bechor. A behemah tahora, kosher animal. So by Pidyon HaBen, that we all know, that's a firstborn, the son, to a non-Kohen, to a non-Levi, a natural birth. First 30 days, after 30 days, you do Pidyon HaBen. That's Bechor Adam. There's Bechor behemah tahora, that's the second parak of Becharos. That's if the firstborn kosher animal, a cow, a goat, that's a carbon, it's brought to, given to a Kohen, the Kohen brings it as a carbon. The third type is a petach hamor, the firstborn donkey. If a Jew owns a donkey, he gives birth to a petach hamor, a very rare mitzvah, because apparently donkeys have often miscarriages, so to have a firstborn animal, chamor, that's viable is very, very rare. And Jews also don't own donkeys, so that's also very rare. So you'll see once in a while, if it's like a rare occasion, some gvir buys one of the gedolim, the rights to do the petach hamor, becomes like front page of the yeshiva world, and becomes a whole event of the pidyon petach hamor. So what's pidyon petach hamor? So you have two options. Either the owner could just break the neck of the chamor, the donkey, and that's it. Or he could redeem it onto a seh, a sheep, or any other value. Doesn't have to be a sheep, it could be the value. And you typically put it onto the seh. Now the seh is given to the kohen eats it. And the chamor goes free to, it's a chulin animal, the owner could eat it. So there's either a pidyon, or there's an arifa. Either break the neck, or you do a pidyon. So the Mishnah, the very end of Maseches, the first parak of Maseches Becharos, the Mishnah tells us that if lo ratzel f'tos, if one refuses to do pidyon petach hamor, so then he could orfo me'achorav v'kovro. You could break the neck of the donkey and then just bury it. So then the Mishnah says, mitzvah ha'pidiyah kodemes le'mitzvah arifa. If you're having options, it's certainly It's certainly recommended to do pinyon, to leave the animal alive, don't kill anything, give a sheep to the kohen and keep the chamor. And if not, the mitzvah arifa is next. And listing a few other examples, the Mishnah says, mitzvah hayibum kodemes lemitzvah chalitza. So we see here again that chalitza is called a mitzvah in the Mishnah. It's called a mitzvah. So why would you think it's not a mitzvah? Why would one say this is not a mitzvah? What would the svar be? It's not a mitzvah. So there's an interesting Rambam Ravid, which I hope you got a chance to see. So what's Machlokas Rambam Ravid, guys, about the mitzvah of Arifas Petach Hamor? Anyone see the Rambam Ravid? Yeah.
The Ravid says it's
in the Beirut, it's in the Absolute
Money.
Yeah, Mafsid Matnos Kuna. You know Matnos Kuna? How many Matnos Kunas are there? Anyone know?
24,
excellent. 24 Matnos Kuna. 24 is a very big number, actually, when it comes to Kahuna. There, 24 Mishmaros of the Kahuna. There, 24 is a big number. The 24 times in Tanakh that Kohanim are called Levim, 24 is a big number. So the 24 Matnos Kuna. One of the Matnos Kahuna, one of the gifts you give to a Kohen, Matnos Kuna, is the mitzvah Petach Hamor, the Seh. So if you don't give the Seh, you break the donkey, now the Kohen lost his gift. He had a chance for a gift, and you took it away from him. The Rambam somehow says that's a mitzvah. He thinks it's a mitzvah of Arifa. Now, certainly it's highly recommended to do the pinyon, but if you want to opt for the Arifa, that's also a key mitzvah. Mitzvah say la'arifa. So just parenthetically, and this is not our focus, but it's good to have just ideas along this side. If we focus on Petach Hamor just for a second, we'll get back to our sugya chalita just for a moment. What do you think the machlokas is? Whether or not there's a mitzvah in the Arifa, or it's considered a mazik, it's considered avera, when performing Arifas Petach Hamor. What's the Nekudas Machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid? Anyone here learn the Sugyas in Bav Metzia Takfa Kohen yet? So it's a very hard, it's one of the hardest Sugyas in Shas. The Sefer called Takfa Kohen, as some of you know. So when a Petach Hamor is born to me, let's say I've got a whole, I don't know what you call a flock of donkeys, but a flock of donkeys, let's call them, whatever you call a herd of donkeys. So a donkey's born to me in my backyard. So now, who owns that donkey right now? Anyone? Any thoughts? Who is the bialis? Who's the owner of it? Me or the Kohen? Kohen. You think Kohen has rights to it? Or do I own it? Maybe I didn't give it to the Kohen yet.
You picked the Kohen.
So I get to choose the Kohen, right? I get to choose who it's going to go to. So maybe I have the ownership to it. What happens if a Kohen grabs it without asking permission? Is he allowed to grab it? So this is a discussion of Takfa Kohen. I'm not going to get involved in it, but just to be very, to oversimplify, when the Chamor is born, there might be that, even though a particular Kohen may not own it, it's called Sheva Kuna. The Sheva Kuna might have rights to it. Now, I can decide which one, but they have ownership to it, or no, maybe I have a full ownership until I give it to the Kohen. If he doesn't get it, it's mine. So I believe one way to explain the Machlokas Rambam Ravid is that the Ravid holds that the Kohen actually owns the Chamor when it's born. And when I break the neck, I'm breaking his mamon. It's like breaking his car window. It's mafsid mamon kohen. But the Rambam holds, it's not the kohen's, it's mine, until I decide who to give it to. But if I don't give it to anyone, it's mine. I could break my own car window. There's no isser in doing that. There's no nezek in that. I could do whatever I want with my property. So the Rambam Ravid might be arguing about who has ownership when a chamor is born. But either way, the Ravid is bothered. How do you call the mazik of Arifas Chamor? How do you call that a mitzvah? It's a damaging, it's an avera, it's a mazik, nikra mafs and mamona shakoin. Yeah, I think so, yeah. I think there are a number of nafkaminas actually. If you look through Maseches Bechoros, I think you're going to find this a nice Rashi L'shitasa throughout the first parak, where he seems to indicate that it's not owned by the Kohen. It's part of a larger sugi, but you'll see a number. I don't remember all the nafkaminas off the top of my head right now, but if you learn through Rashi, you'll see this. Rashi keeps emphasizing the ownership or not ownership of the Kohen, how much of a role he plays. I'll have to recall some of them. I'll share them with you. But either way, this seems to be a machlokas. Now, the Ravid was bothered that how do you call the Arifa mitzvah? You're being mazik someone's property. So the Radbaz comments that, okay, well, the Ravid is a very good point. So why doesn't the Ravid say this by the mitzvah of chalitza? Chalitza, you're missing an opportunity to rebuild the house of one's brother, to continue the legacy of one's brother who died. Why doesn't he make a comment that chalitza isn't a mitzvah? We just saw the first parak of Hilchos Yibum. The Rambam says it's a mitzvah of chalitza. There's no Ravid here. So I want to ask the question whether the Ravid made a comment, every single comment he had. He made a lot of comments, certainly. Does it mean where he doesn't comment, does that really mean he agrees? Maybe yes, maybe not, I don't know. But the Radbaz certainly felt that if he didn't argue, it means he agrees. So it must be that he felt that there is a mitzvah of chalitza. He agrees to the Rama. So the Mari Kurkos continues to say, well, how could that be? If the Ravid holds that Arifas Petach Hamor is a mazik, is an Avera, so Chalitza should also be an Avera. How could the Ravid say one case is a mitzvah, one case is an Avera? They're both damaging something. The Lashon of the Mari Kurkos is Chalitza Gamhi Avera, that means, Meganeu Vamra V'yarku B'fanav, you spit. She spits in the face of her brother-in-law. Achzarias Gdol, it's a terrible disgrace. That's going to be a mitzvah. If breaking a donkey, if killing a donkey is not a mitzvah, how could you say spitting in the face is a mitzvah? It's worse. It's to a human being. Covered up rios.
He's making the choice.
He's making the choice.
The whole thing comes from his choice of not wanting to be evil. I know the Rambam adds in rats to eat, but meaning spitting in front of her comes from the fact that she's upset that he doesn't want to be hakam shame.
It's a good point. He's opting out of the mitzvah, so his punishment, if you will, it's his own disgrace for choosing such a bad option. But as you pointed out, the Rambam says if she refuses, so that's he shouldn't be disgraced because of her decision. He's like, I want to marry the girl. So, I'm not marrying you. So then she would always have to spit. So it's not necessarily that, but you're right. We're going to speak about today's Tuesday, so Mitzvah Hashem Thursday. There's a din on Amud Beis that the Dayan have to see the rope. They have to watch the spit. I once saw a chalitza. And they're like, so like watching the Dayanim like crouch down to like watch the spit going across the room. So there's a din, you have to actually see it. We'll have to learn those dinim, but we're going to discuss some of the reasons why. And I think what you're saying is correct, that one of the reasons is the spit is because he just turned her down. So that could be an interesting chiluk. That is true. The Mari Kurkos doesn't make that chiluk, but I think that chiluk is fair. Yeah. Yeah.
If we're saying, we're predicating the machlokas on basically if it's hafseda becoming, then what's the comparison of chalitza really doing? It's not real.
Yeah, but the rabbi said it's not, the emphasis should not only be on the hefsid for the kohen, it's also on the avera. So the missed opportunity. So you can make chalukam and echanami, but it's something negative. It would just be more broad for a moment, something negative. So then it's negative in terms of killing a donkey. It's negative in terms of refusing the continuity of the relationship, the family, the legacy. But I think that chiluk also makes sense. Maybe the Rambam says, well, there's a mazik involved. A mazik, there's a real avera for mazik. What's the source of an avera? Is there a nezik? Anyone know? Is there a nezik? Anyone in Baba Kama here?
Is it a miscarriage case?
Miscarriage case? No, I don't think. I don't think they bring that. Maybe they could, though. Yeah. The Gemara says that there is no source. The Gemara doesn't bring a source to an Isser Nezik. There's a requirement. If you damage, that you have to pay the damages. But there's no Isser that's mentioned in the Gemara. But the Rishonim understand that there must be a source. How can you say Nezik is Mutter? So, there's a stipler, the very first stipler in Baba Kama. He says Lo Sigzol might be a source not only of stealing, but also of damaging. Might be an extension of Gzela. I think he throws out just loving each other, which is not really an iser. That could be that case as well of causing a miscarriage. They bring a whole slew of sources how there's an iser nizikin. So nizikin, there's an iser involved. So maybe that's why by that case there's no mitzvah. But by chalita, there's no iser. He's just refusing to get married. So I think both the chilukim can really work out. Tammy, you had a question? Okay. But either way, the Mari Kurkos doesn't take that approach. He doesn't make any chilukim. And he says that maybe the idea is as follows. We have to understand a mitzvah. What's a mitzvah? So is gerushin, is that a mitzvah to divorce? Is that something that the Torah wants one to do? The last daf in Gittin talks about how the mizbeach cries whenever there's a gerushin. It's not a good thing. You think the Torah wants mitzvah bezdin to do skila and throw someone off a cliff and stone them and burn them? And the Torah doesn't want these things. These are all negative things. But yet we have, even negative things have a mitzvah. What a mitzvah means is that you just have to follow the rules. There's a mitzvah there's a tzava to follow the rules. If you're going to take this approach, these are the guidelines. If you're going to get divorced, these are the guidelines. Not that we're happy in having a celebration. If you're going to do a rifas petach hamor, these are the rules. Follow the rules here. So it's not positive versus negative. It's just there's a mitzvah how to go about certain things, even though they may not be something we encourage, but it doesn't mean it's not considered a mitzvah. So the Meir Kruka says, therefore, he defends the fact that the Rambam calls it a mitzvah, even though it's maybe not the best approach, and there might be some negativity to it, just like mitzvahs gerushin, just like mitzvahs chalitza, mitzvahs arifa, and go down the line, you have mitzvahs of that which is even negative. Now, in addition to this discussion whether there's a mitzvah, one could also raise the question, I tried emphasizing this before, that maybe it's not a mitzvah in that it's really a matir. Now, what are examples that you guys know where there's a discussion in the Rishonim whether a particular mitzvah is a mitzvah or it's a matir, just as matir something? Anyone know what I'm talking about? Any examples of where you see this chakira in Rishonim?
Gerushin.
So gerushin's a great one. Gerushin's a matir. The two things are accomplished. It's a key mitzvah. And your matir, the wife, she can now get married. So that would be an example of whether it's a matir or whether it's a mitzvah. This happens to be just in light of gerushin as a great example. The mission, the first mission, Maseches Kedushin, says there are two ways that a woman could become single. One way is gerushin. What's the other way?
Death.
Death, right, misa. So there's Rav Chanan there in the Kedushin, I think, Dav Gimel or so, he talks about whether misa is also a matir like gerushin. What does that mean? Has misa matir? What does that mean? It's matir. So he quotes a incredible Chumas Hadeshin. Chumas Hadeshin, one of the late Rishonim, oftentimes quoted by the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch. So he asked the following shaila. He said, what happened when Eliyahu Navi disappeared? What happened to his wife? His wife is single. There's no husband anymore, but Eliyahu Navi never died. There's no Maisa Misa. He just vanished. So then he says, who cares? That was hundreds of years ago. He said, maybe someone's going to be Zocha to the level of Eliyahu Navi and disappear. Maybe you guys are going to get to some level and you're going to just vanish like Eliyahu Navi. And then one's wife will, is she single? Is she not single? There's no death. There's no gerushin. So he says, it's totally on whether or not the Misa is a matir like gerushin. Oh no, Misa just means you're not around. It's a mitzias. It no longer exists in the world. So I forget how this one's a Deshan Paskins. But the Gerushin is a great example of being a mitzvah and a matir. So Aguna, the person might be alive. We don't know. Eliyahu Navi, we know he vanished. It's okay. He doesn't exist beguf anymore. Though he sometimes comes back beguf, but he doesn't, on a regular basis, doesn't come back beguf. But by Aguna, might be alive somewhere. We don't know where. If, where. So another example is Shechita. Is Shechita a mitzvah or Shechita is a matir? So there's another discussion. The Rambam, the Ravid, whether there's a mitzvah of Shechita. The Rambam says there's a mitzvah of Shechita. And the Ravid, I think, argues and says, no, it's no mitzvah Shechita. If you want to eat, this is how you do it. It's a matir. It's not a mitzvah. It just allows you to eat. It allows you to remove the Isser Nevela. Allows you to remove the Isser Eivor Menachai. So here as well, we have a discussion. Is Chalitza a mitzvah? You get a check mark for one of the Tariq mitzvahs. Or Chalitza is just, well, she's stuck. Undo the Isser, Zika, and allow her to get married, Muteres Lashuk. Is it a mitzvah or is it not? So that's an interesting discussion that appears in the Achronim. So there's a Chacham Tzvi, the truest Chacham Tzvi, in the very first Simon. He thinks that it's only a matir. It's only not a mitzvah. And let's say you have a situation whereby the woman, you know, when I went to, I saw one chalitza, the lady was an older lady, it's very rare to happen, probably even more rare than a petach hamor, that she was older, and sometimes you have that, just not interested in getting married. She doesn't want to get married. She's single, she's 95, and she's not getting married at 95. So do you have to do chalitza at that point? So if there's a mitzvah, yeah, you get a mitzvah chalitza. It's a unique opportunity that most people don't, no one wants to do that mitzvah, but if you get it, you've presented with a mitzvah chalitza, you do it. But if it's a matir, so then she doesn't want to get married. She could be stuck as a zik if she wants. There's no Indian to do something. You don't have to apply the matir. I see a cow. Let me go shechta, just be matir. I don't want to eat the cow. I'm a vegetarian, let's say. I'm very much not a vegetarian. But let's say I'm a vegetarian. So I'm going to shech the cow, just be matir. There's no point. I'm not going to eat it anyways. There's no, just to do chalitza, just to let her for no reason. So the Chacham Tzvi writes in his very first siman in Shuvos, he writes that it's only a mitzvah if she plans to get married. But if she doesn't plan to get married, there's no mitzvah. He says it's all a matir. Sorry, not a mitzvah. It's all a matir. And therefore, if she doesn't want to get married or it's also to get married, therefore, there's no shaychas to the chalitza. It's a chalitza. All about a matir. So I was talking to Leah Mayer. Some of you probably know him from Sheyashiv. He hangs out there. I don't know if you know him from there, but Leah Mayer is a great guy, big time chacham. I'm going to probably have him give some shir to you guys once in a while here as well, depending how long we go, but he's fantastic. So he asked me this question. I told him what Shtugi were doing. He says, do you find any Rishonim that say, like the Chacham Tzvi, that it's a matir? That Chalita is simply a matir. It's not a mitzvah. It's a matir to allow someone to get married. Did anybody come across any Rishonim who said this? Who seemed to indicate that Chalita is actually a matir, not a mitzvah? And not in a there, right. Does anyone see the Rashi in Sanhedrin yet? So the Gemara Sanhedrin, Mishnah Sanhedrin is talking about the dinim of a king. The second paragraph of Sanhedrin talks about the king, the halachas of a king. How many wives, how many horses, and how much money. So the Mishnah there says that when it comes to a melech can't judge, he can't be judged, he can't testify, he can be testified about. And lo cholitz v'lo cholitzin li'ishto. One's not allowed to do chalitza if the husband, let's say, dies, the king rather dies, without children. So now the queen is a widow, and the brother-in-law can't do chalitza. Why can't the brother-in-law do chalitza to her? Sorry? That's kavadik. So that's part of the element. There's a din that you can't marry the eishes melech. It's she've heard a, you know, marry the king and then marry some regular head yot. It's beneath her kavod. So why can't you do chalitza then? Do chalitza, so she's not going to get married. So Rashi says, if you look at Rashi number 7, Rashi writes, "Below chalitza the isha, you can't do chalitza to the wife because mipnei she'asura linase. Since she can't get married, an eishes melech, a malka, in other words, can't get married to someone who's not a king. So what's the point in doing chalitza if she can't get married? It's all about a matir. So that's why I told Leon that this Rashi seems, on the surface, it sounds like Rashi says what the Chacham Tzitz says, that it's all about a matir. So now, the Rashash wasn't very fond of this approach of the Chacham Tzvi. He didn't think this was correct. And the Rashash therefore says, if you look at the language of number 8, and Rashash, if you didn't see this yet, so again, just to reiterate, you don't have to go through every source. One of the things it's good to do is, good to scan things sometimes. I'll try to like delete some of the extra text which you may not need to learn, or bold things if I have a time. I'm trying to catch up with the Yevamo stuff a little bit. But either way, so you probably didn't get to see this Rosh Hashanah, but number 8, the Rosh Hashanah writes, Rashi Dima Maskel Cholzin, he says, Mipnei she'asura li'inase, since she can't get married to anyone else, so there's no need, you can't do chalitza. L'chaora, hochanami, mitzvah chalitza, eina b'chadei she'tei muteris li'inase. The point of chalitza is not just to get her to be permitted, even though that's what Rashi says, it's not about a heter. Elashi mitzvah mitam hakamos meitanu, which means there's a hidden reason which we don't understand. It's a secret. There's some deep secret to chalitza. V'af im eino rota linase liolam, even if she doesn't want to get married ever again, there's still a mitzvah. And the tshuvos chacham tzvi simen aleph mashma the daito gamkein im eino rota ein ka mitzvah. So he says if she's not interested, there's no mitzvah. So Rashash doesn't like this. He says sarchin. He doesn't think that's correct. He thinks there is still a mitzvah. So the question is, if there's really a mitzvah, so how come you can't do chalitza in this case? So while the Chacham Tzvi says it's all about a matir, the way Rosh Hashanah understands it, it's a mitzvah, but there's a caveat, there's a tenai in the mitzvah. The mitzvah is only relevant if there's going to be a heter at the end of the day. But if she won't be mutter to linase, there's no mitzvah. So again, the Chacham Tzvi says there's no mitzvah at all, just a heter, just a matir. If she'll be mutter to marry someone, then great. If she won't be mutter, then there's no inyan chalitza. Rosh Hashanah says there's a key mitzvah, but that key mitzvah is taloi in whether or not she can marry someone or not. And since the malka can't get remarried to someone else, so memela, there's no longer a mitzvah. That's how the Rosh Hashanah understands this Rashi. But on the surface, face value, Rashi seems to indicate it's all about a matir. I'll share with you Tiferes Yisrael, the Mishnah is there in the Maseches Sanhedrin, and he says, really there is a mitzvah to perform chalitza on the malka, on the queen. So why don't we let it happen? Because it's a gzera, he says, it's a gzera because if she now knows she's free, maybe she'll get married to someone else. If she knows she's stuck, so then she won't even entertain, she won't even date, she won't even find someone. But let's say she goes free, she gets chalitza. So maybe she's going to now justify and say, I could get remarried, and that's going to be a big michshel. And for that reason, it was a gzera. Midiraisa, she cannot get married until she has chalitza. Then Chacham says she's not allowed to get married because of the kavod of the Malka, and she might override that issur, so they kept it in place and said, don't do chalitza lest you come to her. I believe that the issur for her to get remarried, else the, being a kohen, a Malka rather, I think it's only issur midrabanan though. That's kavod, I think, that you mentioned before. Okay, so either way we see that there's a question whether it's a mitzvah or it's an aveira, a question whether it's a mitzvah or a matir. I know there's so many different issues we're talking about here. Now the relationship between chalitza and yibum, whether these are two different mitzvahs or one mitzvah, that's an interesting question. How they correlate with each other? Are they two different tracks? Or no, you're trying to accomplish it, they're really one unit. I'll just throw out quickly, I don't want to discuss it right now, it might come up throughout the parak, but the Rambam interestingly counts two separate mitzvahs. One mitzvah, the mitzvah of yibum, and another mitzvah, the mitzvah of chalitza. They're two different mitzvahs, two different tracks. And Rasadigon, and mitzvah say Reish Ayin Vav, he writes that he lumps them together. So just to note that he thinks they're intertwined and the Rambam thinks they're independent. What that means for us is that we don't have to get involved in that right now. So this question of the being a mitzvah versus a, again, I want to keep in mind the three different points here, guys. Whether it's a mitzvah or an avera, whether it's a mitzvah or a matir. Now, what would you say about a katan? Would a katan be able to perform the mitzvah of chalitza? What do you think? Yes, Sammy? Nachayim mitzvah, so he should be pater. But if it's a matir, so maybe bishayach, maybe he can. You know, we have this, anyone doing daf yomi here? You guys doing daf yomi, anyone? No, okay, fine. I'll bring an example that came up. Okay, so katan is an example that you're telling whether it's a mitzvah or simply a matir. What about, will we force someone to do chalitza? Could we force someone to do the inyan chalitza? Sorry? If it's a mitzvah, then? Yeah, we force. The Gemara Ksuba says, kofen al mitzvah aseh. We could force them to do a mitzvah. But if it's simply a matir, then maybe Bezdin would not force to do this. So we see a number of nafkaminas. That's a good question. Does one need das even to matir? Is that a necessary requirement of chalitza? I don't remember. We'll have to look into it. I don't remember what they say. But that would certainly play an important role. Kavana, we'll see in a second, kavana is essential. So the chora, probably a katan would have to have the right level of das. You're probably right, yeah. Very good. So now, an interesting question, the Birkei Yosef, the Chidan is a commentary in the Shulchan Aruch, the Birkei Yosef. Oh, I put one more piece before the Birkei Yosef, sorry. Is this mitzvah of chalitza on the husband, the man, the yavam? Is it on the woman? Who is the mitzvah on? So the Sefer Chinuch writes in number 11, the very end of the Sefer Chinuch, he says, Noheges b'chol makom b'chol zman b'zecharim. The mitzvah is only on the man, not on the woman. Others, Achronim, argue and say, no, it applies to the woman as well. So let's understand. It may not relate to what we were saying beforehand, but why would you think it may not apply to women? Why would it only apply to men? Any thoughts? Yibum's on the man, right? Why is Yibum on the man? His brother. A little bit more. Not just because it's his brother. It's also, it was her husband. That's just because of relationship, but... So right, you go into there's custom seems to focus on the man. He's doing the ma'isa, but it could just be that's just how the ma'isa is. You know, the ma'isa is always on the man versus the woman. What's the goal of yibum? How? Kids, peruvu. Exactly. So women are pater. How do we know women are pater in peruvu? If you asked in last week's parsha, right? Peruvu v'chashua. It says to procreate and conquer, take over the world. The Gemara in Yevamos actually says that ish darko lichvosh vein isha darko lichvosh, men are conquerors, warriors, women are not. And since the Torah has connected the pruvu to be kovesh, only men are chayv the mitzvah, not women. As an interesting nafkamina, because it comes up in Yevamos as well, there's sugyas about avadim. Are avadim chayv in the mitzvah pruvu? We know avadim eved kanani is chayv in mitzvahs. If a Jew owned a non-Jew as an eved, as a slave, eved kanani is chayv in mitzvahs, like who? Like women, right? La, the Gezer Shavah, la, la by Evkanani, la by Nashim, by Isha. Whatever women are chayiv on, Avadim are chayiv as well. So what would you say about an Eved Kenani? Is an Eved Kenani chayiv in the midst of peruvu? What do you say? No? So if a woman's pater, he should be pater. Any thoughts otherwise? He's a man, but he's a kovish, he's a conqueror. Now, maybe not a great warrior because he's owned by someone else, but his gender, he's a man. I'll ask you another question. What about, there are women are chayiv and only mitzvah sase shazman grama, right? I mean, they're pater rather, from mitzvah sase shazman grama. When it comes to lo sases, are women chayiv and all lo sases?
Yes.
With the exception of? Three. Which three? I must have said this this summer, I guess. Yeah, okay, Sam, you can... Yeah. So no. The beard, the corners of the hair, also well, and the and Tumas Meis. Very good, Sammy. Good memory. So three los haseis that women are putter from. So an Eved Kenani. Eved Kenani, could they shave their beard? Could they use a razor? Their women are putter. They're putter also, but maybe it's based on being a man. So the same thing by Peruvu. In Eved Kenani, one could question the discussion of the Mishnah Lamelech whether Eved Kenani is chayiv in Peruvu. The Tosos and all over Shas about this. Gittin and Chagiga and elsewhere. Fine. So that might be a reason why women are part in Chalitza. Right? Because if Yibam is a mitzvah on the man, because Peruvu, that's what's driving Yibam, and Chalitza is just the opposite side of the coin of Yibam, it's just either Yibam and Chalitza, they go hand in hand. Like the Rasag says, it's all one mitzvah saseh, they're lumped together. So whoever's chayv in Yibam is chayv in Chalitza. Men are chayv in Yibam, the chayv in Chalitza. Women who are pater in Yibam, or it's not their mitzvah at least, then women should be pater in Chalitza as well. But if you assume that the Rambam, the two separate mitzvahs, so who says? Maybe Yibam has its own set of rules, and maybe Chalitza has its own set of rules. Now, on the Peruvu discussion of Birka Yosef, the Chida talks about, is it so true that women are entirely exempt from mitzvah of Peruvu? Any indicators that, even though the Gemara clearly says women are pater, are there any indicators that women are chayiv in the mitzvah of Peruvu? Certainly you need a woman to take two to tango, they say. So, yeah, you certainly need a woman there. So the Ran, based on this, the Sugya in the second parak of Kedushin talks about mitzvah bo yoser mi b'shulcha, that I could send a shliach to perform Kedushin on my behalf. I want to get married to my wife, so I send a shliach, please do Kedushin for me. But nonetheless, the Mishnah says mitzvah bo, there for me to do it, yoser mi b'shulcha. The Mishnah also says mitzvah ba yoser mi b'shulcha, that she can also send the shliach to be makabel Kedushin, but better for her to go on her own than to send the shliach. So the Ran says, well, what's the mitzvah? What's the mitzvah that she's performing? Same lashon, mitzvah chalitza, mitzvah kedushin. What's the mitzvah for a woman? Is there a mitzvah? So firstly, is there a mitzvah of kedushin in general? That's not kedushin. Is mitzvah of kedushin? Yes or no? No? Hechsher mitzvah? Maybe it's a matir? Anyone seem to say otherwise? So there's a Gemara in Ksubis and there's a Rambam in the Rush who have machlokas, whether Kedushin's a mitzvah or a heksha mitzvah. The Rambam, yeah? No, in general, and we'll talk about her. So in general, the Rambam holds that Kedushin's a mitzvah. The Rush holds that Kedushin's a matir, heksha mitzvah. Heksha for what? Peruvu. So the Rambam and Rabbi argue the nature of the bracha of Kedushin. Is birchas Kedushin and birchas a mitzvah? Or is it birchas sherech voda? Rambam holds, since Kedushin itself is a mitzvah, the bracha is a birchas mitzvah. You should say the bracha before performing kedushin, like any mitzvah. Before shaking lulav, you say bracha first. Before eating matzah, you say the bracha first. The Rush holds that no. Well, TMM's having a class today. Right? My girls go to TMM. It sounds fun down there, playing music and dancing. So anyways, so the Rush says that kedushin is actually a heksher mitzvah, and the bracha would only be a birchas shevach vodah. There's no mitzvah of kedushin. So you'd say bracha after. Whenever the Shevach Hodah, when do you say bracha? When thunder and lightning? You don't say before, you say after the fact, right? Kirsh Levana, you say after you see the moon. A bracha Shevach Hodah is after the fact. A bracha is a mitzvah, it's before. The Ram and Ravid, a Ram and Rush argue whether or not it's a mitzvah Kedushin or not. Deraisa. Now how to do it, Kesef Kishtar and Bia, that's a discussion, Kesef Ram and Ravid, Deraisa. So from, but yeah, to Deraisa, Deraisa, Kim Deraisa, Mitzvah Deraisa. But others say it's only Heksha Mitzvah. So one could say that Mitzvah's Kedushin, Mitzvah Ba Yosmer B'Shlucha, is Mitzvah of Kedushin. But let's say the whole, like the Rush, like many other Rishonim, there's no mitzvah of Kedushin. So there's a mitzvah of Kedushin, not even a possibility. It's not a mitzvah of Kedushin. So what's the mitzvah that we're talking about in the Mishnah and Maseches Kedushin? What's mitzvah about Yosem B'Shilcha? Peruvu. Ah, but women are not chai. We just quoted the Gemara in Ksuba and Gemara in Yivamos that women are pata from Peruvu. So how do you explain the Lashon mitzvah ba yosmer shlucho if she's not shayach to Peruvu? Does anyone know the Ran there in the back of Kedushin? The Ran writes that since, as you said, she's misayeh badavar, she's misayeh, she helps with the mitzvah, that's considered enough of a mitzvah. Now, it's not a real mitzvah, but it's enough of a mitzvah. Misayeh b'mitzvah, it's misayeh b'aveira, the big sugi in general. The person assists in a mitzvah, you get an assist, you pass the puck to the guy for an assist. So you pass the whatever to the help the husband. You help pass whatever the case is. A mitzvah b'aveira, mitzvah b'mitzvah has a discussion. So, for example, the Gemara in Nazir talks about in the Gemara in Makos that person's getting a haircut and the barber cuts my peos. So I'm not doing anything. He's doing the cutting. I shouldn't get an answer, but I'm like adjusting my head for him. So that be masayah. That's masayah b'aveira. That's a discussion how siwa works. But either way, we see that she plays some role, a significant role. But even Lagabi the mitzvah, there's some mitzvah that she's shaykh to. So one could still say that even though she's pater from Peruvu, her misayeh bedavar might be enough of a reason, her involvement of Peruvu, for dechayv and yibum and also chalitza by extension. So that's women's roles in the mitzvah of yibum and chalitza. Now, what would you guys say, after discussing whether chalitza is a mitzvah or not a mitzvah, what would you say about an onenes, a woman who's an onen? An onin, just to make sure everyone knows, an onin is a person who lost a relative before the burial, before kavura. So now that person is an onin, and it's pater from all mitzvahs. The Mishnah and Maseches brachos, pater from kol mitzvahs kula. She doesn't say brachos. You can't do isurim. That you don't do mitzvahs. Don't daven. So what would you say about a woman onenis in mitzvah chalitza? Can she perform chalitza? Now it's probably not like the, you know, if you're the rabbi, the masader chalitza, probably wouldn't be right to do it while the husband isn't yet buried. But okay, that's the case. So she's an onenis. Her husband just died. They're childless. Now, maybe the brother-in-law is about to leave to China, won't be back in who knows how long. So you have an opportune time right before the kavur. Can she do chalitza when she's an onenis? What? If it's a mitzvah, then she's pater from mitzvahs. If it's a matir, what do you think? Yeah, no, it shouldn't work either. Why not? Sure, I would think so also. Yeah, I would think she should be able to do it. If it's a matir, she should be able to do it. However, the Chida writes that since you need kavana daita, lechavin daita, which is what you mentioned before, with the das and the kavana, and therefore she does not have proper das, therefore, either way, you would be pater. She shouldn't be doing it because either she's pater for mitzvahs or because it doesn't have the proper das. Now, according to the chinuch, which you said above, that women are not chayav in chalitza, it's the man's obligation. Well, maybe she's just like, you know, she's just a monkey, if you will. It's not nice to say that, but people got in trouble for calling women monkeys. She's not a monkey, but that's the term they use, that she's just a statue. She's just, you know, she has to spit, but the husband's doing the mitzvah. It's not her keem the mitzvah. So maybe since the focus is really on the man, even though she's an onenis, maybe a taka would work. So that's a discussion about aninus. And we'll finish with one last interesting discussion about why there's no bracha on chalitza. There's no bracha on chalitza. Anyone know why not? So that's the key of, you know, just the chalitza. And, so it could be. It could be. We have that. They say why you don't say bracha by tzedakah. You want to give money to tzedakah, to an ani, you say, bracha Hashem, and the ani says, nah, you give me a quarter, he throws it away. So you don't get your mitzvah tzedakah, and you just say, bracha latala. So maybe here, maybe they won't complete the mice. It could be. They don't say, I haven't seen anyone, didn't see anyone who said that, but I hear that, yeah. Harris. Ah, interesting. Very good. So that's similar to what some of the Rishonim say, actually. The Vujraham, I don't think he focuses on the spitting, per se, but he says, it's a mitzvah baba vera. Ka'avar al ase di yibum. You're violating the opportunity of a yibum. And, right, so like the rivet, it sounds like, but he calls it a mitzvah baba vera. So there's a mitzvah of chalitza, but yet there's an avera at the same time. So the spitting could be, I guess, involved in that. So it's not quite what you're saying, but similar. So I thought that's a fascinating Avu Jerham he talks about, that it's a mitzvah baba vera, which Again, put down a list of the Ravid Rambam. And then he says, and the woman should also not say the bracha, because she's not chayv in the mitzvah, because she's not chayv in puruvu, and mimele she's not chayv in yibum, mimele she's not chayv in chalitza. So that's how the Avudraham explains why there is no bracha. So there are other discussions, but we'll leave it at that. Either way, this is just to wrap up today, just to sum up what we did. We discussed whether or not there's a mitzvah of chalitza or not. It depended on whether or not you could count the mitzvah chalitza as something positive or negative, based on that Ravid, who wouldn't count things that are negative, like the Arifas, Petach Hamor. We spoke about whether mitzvah or it's a matir, and whether or not one would apply if the woman won't be mutter to marry anyone anyways. Is there an Indian to perform the mitzvah? Then yes, if it's an Indian of a matir, it would be pointless. And then we discussed that Rashi and Sanhedrin, and whether the two mitzvahs are connected, Yibam and Chalitza, or it's two separate mitzvahs, or one mitzvah, and then Aninus and the Bracha, and I think that's all. Okay, guys. Shkoyach. And Mitzvah Hashem will continue tomorrow about which Dayanim are fit to be sitting on a Chalitza case.